Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, all the latest fighting news, and this season's NFL. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV to get the bonus and get into action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast with Alexis Texas, and we are back, season 5. And today, Private Talk, we have the pleasure of having Connie Perion on the couch.
Hi.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you for having
me. Appreciate you taking the time and coming on Private Talk. I have seen you a lot around. We just signed at AVN next to each other at Jules Jordan booth. So I had to get to know you a little bit more personally. Little private conversation between me and you to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So tell me about AVN. How was AVN for you?
AVN was crazy.
Was that your first AVN big
convention? It was my second one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ended up signing for 8 hours a day between three different booths.
Crazy.
That was a mistake.
That's a lot. that's a lot.
That was a mistake.
I'm sure your fans loved it, though.
Yes. You know, in terms of the convention, it was like people were coming up to me. They're like, you're everywhere. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was just there, different outfit, you know.
So why did you choose this year to maybe do three different, you know, companies? Were you just torn to like to see which one? Did you have like favoritisms with taking different booths? Like, tell us more about how you decided to work 8 hours a day at AVN.
So Jules is my guy, so he always gets priority, but Jules was really pushing it on giving me my schedule, and so I didn't really know, and then Plug Talk asked me if I wanted to sign, Pornhub asked, and, you know, such
so everyone got a little bit of sprinkle.
So I was like, you know what, I think you can push yourself, try this.
You know, you got to at least try it once, you know what I mean? Maybe next year, maybe not so much, or maybe one booth in the short hours. But I think it's always a fun time to kind of get to interact in different booths sometimes because each company is a different vibe. And I mean, the fans also get a little bit more of you in a different aspect.
Right.
So I think that that's really interesting to see the dynamic of how that plays out.
Yeah.
So tell us what you've been up to this year. It hasn't been that long into the year, but are you have any new projects coming out?
Yeah. So I've just been going ever since.
Describe what going means.
Going. In January, starting the beginning of the year, I was in Australia. Flew back to LA, landed at LAX, went straight to set for adult time. So that was like a 12-hour set.
Okay.
That was kind of my first work day of the year.
It seems to be like a part of like a habit.
Yeah.
You constantly work. Do you ever get any breaks?
I am admittedly pretty bad about giving myself breaks. I'm working on it.
Okay. That's always good. At least you're aware.
Yeah.
Okay. So you flew in, you did a 12-hour shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, you're doing all these shoots and your work, you know, every day, which, you know, or what it seems like every day. And it was just good to get your content out there and be a part of that. But is there anything that's special that you haven't done yet that you're kind of working on or gearing up to this year?
Yeah, I'm just looking to expand kind of the stuff that I've done. I have my first like feature film coming up.
Exciting.
Next month. So I'm very excited about that for Digital Playground.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How is that different from your normal kind of scenes? How was doing features? Did you like it?
I mean, I haven't done it yet. So this is coming up like next week.
Oh, awesome.
But
do you like scripted kind of, you know,
scenes? I kind of do.
Did you ever want to be, you know, an actress before you got into the adult or any doubt?
Not really. I've done like little short film type things for like friends and stuff like that. But I guess like in middle school, I was in drama. Okay. So I don't know. I like the obscurity and like just the absurdity of it all, you know, of like we're porn performers, but we're like having to learn lines and like really act and stuff. So, you know, I'm excited for the experience.
That's great. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any, you know, people that you haven't worked with yet that are kind of on your hit list this 2024?
Yeah. So I am apparently the only person in the world that has not worked with Johnny Sins.
Okay.
So we've
He definitely has a good cock.
Yeah, we've exchanged DMs.
I haven't had sex in a very long time, but he definitely is a good performer.
Yeah, we've exchanged DMs, and somehow it always just gets lost.
Okay.
So Johnny, hit me up.
Johnny, she's coming after you in 2024. I'm sure he will not oblige.
Yeah. Who else? Danny D, I would love to work with. Scott Nails, I've never worked with for some reason. I would love to work with him. Just like random people.
You see my
porno
boyfriend at one point.
Oh, cute.
Not like literal boyfriend, but like when you're on set, you see the same person on.
Yeah,
set
you're like,
time,
we go together now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will say I have worked with the majority of the people that I've wanted to work with. But, you know, we're always looking for new dick.
New dick is always great.
Yes.
So let's go back a little bit before you got into the industry. Mm-hmm. How describe of like how you like your first like sexual experiences kind of happened to kind of make you into this, you know, woman that you are today. So, you know, strong and kind of just owning your sexuality.
Yeah.
How did you get to this point where you are today?
As far as the
interlocking of your sexuality.
Okay.
Like, were you always, like, a promiscuous girl growing up? Were you very, like, adventurous? Were you, like, trying to see, like, if you could make yourself, like, what are those, like, steps of, like, when you're, like, oh, wait, I need to go into, like, an adult world where, like, I need to see other people like me, too, so we can all explore together?
So I guess this sounds really weird, but I was, like, a really horny kid.
Okay.
So I started masturbating when I was, like, literally 4 years old. Like, to the point where it was, like, a thing that my parents would joke about.
Do you remember getting, like, in trouble or, like, being
told? Oh, yeah, I would get in trouble all the time because I would have this one blanket that I would just, like, hump to, you know. And
You know.
And then, like, it was, like, a thing within my family because it wasn't, like, a sexualized thing. It was just, like, kind of like a dog humping. Like, stop, you know? So that was always a thing. And then, I don't know. I was always kind of boy crazy, even as like a little girl. Like anytime there was like an older man, boy.
So you were always attracted to like older.
Yeah. Okay. So then I would, you know, think I'm doing something. I'm probably not because I'm a child, right? But that was always a thing. And I was a really cute kid too. So like I saw the way that men would react to me, you know, even if it was like, oh, my mom's friend's husband or something. It was always like, oh, you're so cute, you know, all this shit. And so when I got into grade school, like, I lost my virginity really young. I lost it at 12, which I think is a little bit younger than most people. And once that happened, it was just kind of like, oh, we're doing this now.
It's
like...
Now, you know, walk us through that where it's like, obviously you're in a young age or at that point, you don't really know a lot of about anything, life, yes or no, or anything like that. Was after that point, would it like kind of open those doors? Is that kind of like, were you wanting more because you liked it?
Yeah.
Were you wanting more because you were like, was this person with you or was it just something that you were just like, and you were kind of like the instigator?
It definitely was me. So like when I lost my virginity, that was a surprise.
Okay.
So we had been dry humping for God knows how long, you know, it's just the kid classic. It was dry humping. And one day, like, you know, we're dry humping and I feel pain and I look down and I was like, oh. There's like a dick inside of me. And I was just like, all right.
I didn't even talk about it. Just,
Because like to me in my mind, I was like, well, this is obviously the next iteration, right? You're like dry humping. You're already rubbing.
The next level of like what you're
progressing. And once that was kind of broken, I was like, oh, like I'm like a woman, you know? Because I had gotten my period super young too.
Do you think that you at that time, if you can remember like feeling that you were an adult? like, where it's like a switching, changing of, like, maybe you kind of thought or, like, leaned into that sexuality because of that experience?
Yeah, definitely.
So did you continue having sex or did you stop for a while?
I continued.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it wasn't just, like, that guy, right? Because now I'm like, oh, now this is a thing I do. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because I was always dating guys that were a little bit older than me. You know, like, I dated a guy when I was 13 and he was 18. That was...
So do your parents know any, at the time, didn't know this? You were just off being a cute little girl and being like, hey, go to my friend's house, kind of go like, well, typical teenage shit.
I wasn't really allowed out. So I would sneak guys in or sneak out of my house. So my parents had no idea.
So all this was happening under their roof?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, I was always dating guys that were older, but it was weird because it felt like I had more sexual experience.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, like I remember I would date guys that were maybe 3-4 years older and it was like I was giving them their first blowjob.
So were you like kind of giving them lessons, like in a sense of like leading the way?
Yeah.
Like being like, let's do this. Or, yeah, you know, yeah. They were like,
Yeah. Because like when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was be an adult.
Okay.
That's like I wanted to have a job and like. Pay bills. That's like a really
laughing joke to us now, right? Yeah. It's like, can I go back to being a kid when I didn't have any bills or any responsibility?
Right. And so I kind of just really fell into it of like, oh, I'm a woman. Like, this is what you do. And like, I liked impressing the older guys that I would be with like, oh, I'm instigating. Oh, I know what I'm doing. And a lot of times, sometimes I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just...
You acted like it. Yeah. Make it till you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The confidence is everything.
Yeah. Okay, so that escalated. So where do we...
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Go from there. You know, you start dabbling in things like this really young, you know, and so you are doing things that you probably shouldn't at those ages.
Right.
We should, you know, be a little bit more, but that's not how everybody's story is. Which, so where do we go at that point? Did you start to stripping? Did you like walk away from everything?
Yeah.
Did you continue? Like, how did you get to adult?
Yeah. So I moved to New York when I was 17. And I went to college in New York. And that first year, I was surrounded by people that were, like, really rich. And I was not used to that at all. And it was, like, a really weird, like, power dynamic almost, where you're like, oh, I don't have shit, but I'm around people that are, like, generationally wealthy.
Okay.
You know? And I had something happen in school where I was like, this is not the school for me. This is too expensive. Yeah. This is too expensive. I'm going to try to figure things out. So I left school for a year. And in that year, I had to make ends meet with no college degree in New York City. And I like started working at a barbershop and whatever. But someone had suggested, like, what about like maybe getting like sugar daddy or something? And this is 2010. This is the year.
It's before, like, website.
Yeah, well, this is actually like... the year that syncing arrangements actually started.
Oh, okay.
So it was, like, brand new.
Little do I know. I'm like, oh, doesn't exist.
So it was brand new. And I was like, you know what? Let me get on this site. Let me see what I can do. And I'm going to be honest. That first year, I was just getting assaulted left and right. You know, because I'm 18 years old. I don't know how to have these conversations. Yeah. I don't know how to set boundaries and say, hey, I don't like this or I'm not comfortable with this. How much money am I getting? Can I get it now? I just didn't really.
You didn't know.
I didn't know how to assert
that's
myself.
That's the truth for sure.
And I think that's a thing with women in general, right? It takes time to build up the confidence to stand up for yourself.
Well, I think it's, you know, individual. I think, and I appreciate you sharing your story with me. And I think that we don't, it comes a lot from not knowing your worth. Because no one ever taught us that and what they're supposed to. Well, not know it in every situation. But most girls don't have that, you know, situation or person to look up to or tell you what to do what that looks like. And, you know, sometimes you do have that and you still want to figure it out yourself. So there's all different angles of those things. So I definitely, as myself, of being younger and I got in porn when I was 21, there's mm-hmm. certain things that I don't regret doing, but I also knew that I didn't want to do them because right. I didn't know how to where my voice was. Mm-hmm. And it is takes time to like, and it sucks and it's sad that, you know, you just being a confident sexual woman who wanted to do what she wanted to do for yourself had to go through the like bad parts of right. it, of someone assaulting you and crossing your boundaries. Right, but it's right. also, it's like we didn't know what our boundaries were.
Exactly.
So it's like a gray area of things, which doesn't mean like any make it right or wrong or
right or right
or wrong or right, you know, but it's like where you are now, it's like taking that kind of back and having your voice now mm-hmm. as the sex worker that you are. And you know, it's not of all of who you are, it's, you know, a part of who you are, but it's right. like where those roots lie from, where it's like you are worthy of mm-hmm. somebody to respect you doing the seeking arrangements or because that's there for you.
Right, right, right.
And you wanted to go there and do your thing at 18. You're young, dumb, and full of cum. We're like, yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, it's one of those things where it sucks that unfortunately yeah. sometimes happens to younger girls when you're trying to navigate your way
right,
in a
right,
place
right.
where it's like, you know, and that's why I also for why I love the adult industry is like it's a safe space mm-hmm. where, you know, we're tested. There's, you know, you have no lists. You have, you know, mm-hmm. very verbal agreement before mm-hmm. you with content creators of what don't you like, what, you know what I mean? And so it's not like that in other places where I feel like the industry gets us such a bad name sometimes. And I'm like, I think it is the best place for people, you know, like us to like want to explore those
right, things, right.
safe environment.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so that first year, like I made money. Money I had never seen before,
yeah,
you know, but then I met a man outside of this, like this is the longest man.
Like he was gonna take you away. He was gonna like
no, he had no idea I was doing this. He okay. found me on Tumblr.
Okay,
like and he was 12 years older than me, and we just hit it off, and we ended up in a relationship for 7 years.
To stop doing his seeking arrangements
for yeah,
love? Yeah.
And he. Is the longest relationship I've ever had, you know? And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go straight and narrow. I went back to college, all this stuff, and started working marketing at a multi-billion dollar company. Like, you know, I had a very normal life and a trajectory that was so clear, right? And then I lost my job. Like, there was two really big... reorgs in the company. So I made past the first one, the second one I didn't pass. And they fired like 400 people. And I'm like, fuck, now what do I do, right? I had this big important job and it's like, it's such a big resume thing. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm gonna find something better. And then I got back into the field and I'm like, wait, I'm getting things that are like, way more work for less pay or just like shitty job titles. Like what is going on? And I kind of like fell into the most depressed I've ever felt, you know, like I thought my life was over. I was like, where do I go from here? And one friend was like, you're just in sugar, right? You shouldn't do that again. Like you were pretty good at that. And I was like, well, now I'm in my mid 20s and enough time has passed where I have, you know, developed more of a sense of self, personality. I can like assert myself a little better. I'm like, let me try again. So I was working some bullshit jobs. I worked at a
the boyfriend still in the picture?
This is near the end.
Okay.
So I was working at a spin cycle studio and then
Hustler
and a barbershop at the same time. And then I was also sugaring when I was not doing those jobs. And very quickly I was like, wait, I'm really good at this. And I just did it for a few more months and I was like, okay, now I feel comfortable with like, you know, meeting men, all this, asserting myself. And I was like, let me step it up a notch. I'm going to become an escort. And I had already been so connected with people in sex work. And I just started watching what everyone's doing. And I was like, everybody has a proton mail. And I was like, I think that's like a, if you know, you know, sort of thing. So I was like, just get a proton mail email. Get a proton mail email and just put it in your Twitter bio and see what happens. So that's all I did. Then I started getting emails asking about bookings and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, shit.
You weren't ever nervous or like afraid at that time? Like,
I mean, yes. But at the same time, I
were just like, fuck it.
I had like nothing to lose at this point, you know? And I was like, let's try it. I did it like over 10 years prior when it was super, super dangerous. So I'm like, I'm older now. I got this. And so I started getting emails in, and then I started just learning as I was going. Emails are coming in. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So on the other end, I'm Googling like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm asking other escorts like, hey, like, what hotels do you use? How do you do this? Da, da, da. And I'm just gathering all this information, and very, very quickly kind of rose in the ranks of like being a top escort in New York, even with all the tattoos. And when I started, I had like neon pink hair, which is crazy, very not discreet. And so as I started to, you know, build a name for myself, I was like, oh, like I'm comfortable doing this now. This is now like, I love it, right? It's super empowering. I always say there's nothing hotter than walking out of like a hotel room or something with like a stack of cash. And like, you're like, I fucking did that.
And money makes your pussy wet.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Like, then people always ask me, they're like, oh, aren't you like ashamed? I was like, I would enjoy if every man that I had sex with gave me money after. Like, if I was dating a guy and he like threw a stack of cash at me after, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm such a slut. That's so hot, you know? But yeah, so I was just doing escorting. And then one day, Jules Jordan slid into my DMs and asked me if I wanted to do a porn.
Nice.
And
with him, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
And originally, I kind of wanted to say no. I was so used to being in person. I know I'm good in person.
Were you a porn watcher at that time? Yeah. Like, obviously, like, Jules Jordan has a big name.
Yeah.
You know, a big production company, so you would know that. But, like, were you watching Jules? Were you a fan? Were you, like...
Yeah, I mean, I knew...
Because that's enticing, too, where it's like, oh, if it's somebody that you fantasizing, more like sex work and it's your own merit, then you're like, well, why not?
Right. I mean, I wasn't, like, a fan of him as a performer. I feel like the male performers that I was into... usually had tattoos.
Okay.
Like I was in love with Small Hands.
Okay. You know? Okay.
I knew who he was, and I knew that it was a big deal that he was asking me directly. And so I was like, you know what? This will make for a good story one day. You don't have to do more than one. You know, you can just do the one and have it be that and get to say you did it and had this experience. So I was like, why not? And he's like, let me know the next time you're in LA. And this was April of 2022. And we shot, and I have quite literally never felt less sexy in my entire life.
Less sexy?
Yes.
Explain.
The thing is when you professionally have sex, right?
Okay.
You know, with empirical evidence, that you're good at having sex.
Okay.
Because you're getting paid to do it. You've made your whole living off of this, right?
Okay.
All of a sudden, there's like one extra person in the room, and you're like, okay, it's not about the connection we're having. It's not about like catering on this one-on-one experience. Now there's like the third person, which is the camera. And now, like, now so that's all I'm thinking about.
You're camera shy.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking about now. Like, I'm not thinking about how do I make you feel better. I'm thinking about, does my face look okay? You know? And like, you know, I'm being angled in ways that I had never been in my life. That first one, I was like mute, basically. I just kept giggling. I couldn't get words out. I was just giggling. And like, I honestly, when people ask me, I'm like, I kind of blacked out. Like, I was so nervous.
Honestly,
And when it came out, I was mortified, you know?
Like, mortified because of how you felt that day, and you thought people were going to think, like, whatever,
no.
More mortified and
this angle.
Okay.
What is this? Okay, this porn angle? Not for me.
I'm dead. That's hilarious.
Like, okay. Most people are not seeing themselves in this angle, and all I'm looking at is my chin.
But do you think that guys really were masturbating to you? Really? You're thinking that?
No. So that's the thing I learned. Is they don't care. They don't give a shit, right? No, but, like, I had never seen myself like yeah. that. And I'm like, oh, no, this is on the internet. Like, big time on the internet yeah. forever, you know? And so I was scared that I was going to go through some sort of, like, body dysmorphic mm-hmm. spiral. Mm-hmm. But then it, like, kind of, like, got pretty viral, like, instantly. It was like front page on all the tube sites. And it was on like one site, and within the first 2 days had like 2-3 million
views. How did
that
make you feel?
I felt good about it, you know? And I read the comments, which I don't really do anymore because I'm smarter than that. But I read the comments and there weren't that many mean ones. So I was like, okay,
yeah,
you know, like people are liking it. And that's when I realized, I was like, wait, I look like a pumpkin, and yet all these comments are just like, this girl's so hot, where is this girl from, all this. Oh, they're not looking at her face.
But it's funny and interesting, as someone as beautiful as you are, sitting here with, you know, all these, we talked about sex and how, you know, promiscuous and things that you relate to, if you like. But you're going to sit here and tell yourself you look like a pumpkin, whatever. It's like, you're your own worst enemy when it comes to like,
right.
looking those things, because it's like, you're beautiful the way you are. It's mm-hmm. like, you just have to feel that way, and not that you don't feel that way. But why, when you say those things, is girl, they'll have sex with, or they'll right. jerk off to you in any way, whatever.
Right.
It's finding the sense of like continuing like the power behind you feeling sexy in whatever way you look.
Right,
like,
right.
It doesn't fucking matter regardless. It's like, you know what I mean? Like owning your sexuality and your femininity and
right.
embracing that. And who cares?
Yeah.
Let the thing fall off. I'd be the worst. I'd be like, for me, it was always like, I didn't even reveal the camera was there. I just like to fuck.
And right.
It was like, I didn't care what I look like. Because at right. that time too, it wasn't so much of a social media world, you know?
Right.
But I also too am, didn't care.
But, yeah.
So I was like, I just get in there and definitely have come all over my face. Eyelashes right. messy.
Right.
I mean,
so I think it's also like coming from the background that I come from, yeah. right? Like I come from a corporate background where everything has to be like yeah. so dialed in and all of that.
But that's the personality or your personality that,
right.
That your program is to believe that you need to be right. that way, where it's like, obviously there's a middle ground for everybody. Not
right.
the craziness right. of like my crazy self, but finding what makes perfect for you,
because right.
you are perfect in a lot of ways, you know, in your own ways.
Right.
It's just like, I think it's just interesting how a lot of sex workers, not even yourself, but even just not even sex workers, but just beautiful women
mm-hmm.
is like, we think so bad about ourselves
right.
sometimes. And so, like, not even like all the time, but it's like the angle. It's like, girl, that angle is fine.
Right.
Down there,
that's the crazy thing is I thought this was going to like completely destroy my self-esteem. And if anything, it did the opposite, where I was like, wait, the worst way that I've ever looked is already on the internet. And people still like me.
Yeah.
So like, it was so freeing of a thing where I'm like, right. oh, I don't care anymore, you know, because like, can it get worse than that? Or like, you know, like, and it's also like, I think when people take photos that have already been posted on somewhere else and then they edit that and then repost that, I'm like, girl.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be another level of mental illness that I have not reached. Because I'm like, at a certain point, you just have to admit, like, that's a bad photo.
Everyone has their own vices. And,
you know?
It's like, yeah, I just think it's interesting how that is. It's most times more than not, is it? That most women would say stuff like that, especially in the art industry, where it's just
right.
like, you know, you're okay to have sex and everyone to watch you get fucked
right.
every which way, but you're worried about what you're
right. Yeah. But you know, that first one came out and I was like, there are things I don't like about that, so I'm going to work on it and I want to study how to get better at it. Like,
so what did you do to study to get better?
I watched so much porn.
Okay.
I was just like gooning porn, basically.
So what was your go-to porn that you first started with? Was it like a certain genre? What sort of type of?
No, I was just watching all sorts of stuff because I was like, the main thing I wanted to work on was talking.
Okay.
Because I was like, it looks so awkward when you're just
So if somebody were to find that notebook, what were some of the notes that were in there that you took notes on?
I wrote down lines that I heard that I thought were hot. Okay. And I was like, you could try to repeat those things and just, you know. My second and third scenes were with Dredd and Manuel. And, you know, the day before, I had studied for months. And the day before, or like when I was getting ready in the morning before leaving for set, I would be watching their porn and just listening to how other people are interacting with them. And like, just trying to take notes and trying to remember, like, okay, stay active. Like, try to, you know, like, talking has always been the hardest thing for me. Okay. Because when I'm getting fucked, there's no thoughts. I'm like, just bimboed out. Like, nah, you know.
Fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck me.
Exactly. So honestly, just watching a ton of stuff, taking notes, practicing posing. So I would, you know, screenshot photos of like girls that I thought, okay, that looks really hot. And then I would go in the mirror and fix myself and try to like remember
how it felt. You put a lot of time and work into like making your craft and like being the best at what you do.
Yeah. And I think I still try.
What girls did you kind of look up to that maybe you were screenshotting and kind of like were your inspiration?
Yeah. So in terms of posing and stuff, Tommy King.
Okay.
Savannah. Those two are the main ones that jump out.
So how is that like after taking notes on like those things and seeing these people that you were obviously attracted to or like seeing your body style being similar?
Yeah.
Like how is it to finally when you work with them? Like were you super nervous? Were you like, I got this? Like,
I actually have not worked with either of them.
Oh really?
Yeah. You know, we know each other, we're acquaintances, but I've never worked with them. But I feel like every time I work with people, I'm just like enamored and wowed by their level of professionalism, by their level of performance. I remember my first few collabs, I went in saying, hey, this is like kind of new to me. I'm not that good at talking. So I'm going to kind of let you guys lead. And like, if you guys can like, you know, give me any pointers, like I'm open to listening to it, all this. And like, I remember working with Val Steele and they're so good at talking and just like, you know, the energy level. And I just remember like while we're shooting, I'm like taking notes like, okay, wow. Okay. You know? And so those first few collabs, I learned so much just watching other people and just making a note of like, yeah, I think that's hot. If I think that's hot, then other people will think that's hot, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fascinating that you took the time to like really like lean into your craft because I feel like a lot of people don't really do that. So I think it's an interesting like perspective to know that like that much dedication and like, you know, homework was done to like.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're athletes. We're sexual athletes. So, you know, it's like if you don't like your own performance, don't you want to make it better?
For sure.
You know, I remember my first blow bang. I watched blow bangs for like a month, you know, and I was asking around to people, what are your favorite blow bangs? Mm-hmm. And I would watch them and take notes.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching Romy Rain's blow bang for Mason and was just like, okay, like she's doing this, she's doing that, you know?
So out of all those things, scenes and the notes and everything and the scenes that you've watched, what you personally have you been involved with that has kind of been like your top tier scene of like maybe like craziest orgasm or anything you've experienced that you've learned so much that you kind of like sticks out in your head?
I would say to this day, my favorite scene that I've done is the blow bang.
Ever. How many guys?
It was just five.
Just
five. I mean, that's the minimum for a blow bang.
For sure. That's what I'm like. Just five.
I wanted more, but I think Jules was having trouble wrangling more guys in. And I just feel proud of that because, like, the energy was so, you know, it was totally there. Like, even when we were shooting, like, every time we would take a break, I had no fucking clue how long had passed. Or, like, I was just, like, so scrambled. And they would keep asking, like, are you good? And I'm like, I'm good. What? You know, I'm like, this is fun.
I want more.
Yeah. So I would say that one. I think I've done like a content trade with Ramon that was really good. It was like a full squirting thing. It was pretty insane. I'm not a reliable squirter.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
Not a reliable one, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a like squirter at best.
But I can squirt, you know, like the video with Ramon. And why I'm proud of that was because it was the first time that I had actually like prepared for squirting. You know, like he had a whole list of things I should do. Okay. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like chugging waters all day. I'm chugging Pedialytes, all this kind of shit. And I was so physically uncomfortable because I was filled with so much liquid.
You're ready to burst?
Yeah, my body went cold, you know, like my temperature was so cold. And like we would do this really insane scene, like there was so much squirt and it took so much out of me. Like I was so exhausted and just like the physical discomfort of my body. I had never felt that while shooting. I remember after we finished, I get to my friend's house and she's like, how was it? It's like, I think I'm gonna cry now. Oh my God, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm good. That was just like a lot.
Depends, yeah.
So I'm just gonna get in the bath and just cry for a little.
I've been there.
So that one I'm pretty proud of, but you know, I really wanna step up the work that I do. I'm really trying to push myself into becoming more of a hardcore performer, or being able to at least do some of those things. We're trying to work up to anal. I just really want to step it up.
Have you done anal in your personal life?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. I'm there yet for like porn.
Yeah. I was just not comfortable yet. You know, I'm hoping.
Take your time. I think it's, you know, those things that's, there's not, you know, it's nobody's race but yours.
Right.
It's like doing the level of your comfortability. And then you perfect those things as you do them, as you want to go.
Yeah.
That's important too, where it's just like, just have fun with it. And if your ass ain't ready yet, girl, don't force it. Don't force it.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think sometime this year, maybe, at least being able to be comfortable enough to be on camera, you know, I don't know. Like, maybe a content thing sometime this year, but we'll see.
So what is your dating like? Is it hard to date? Are you dating somebody?
Yeah.
So like, how does that work out for you?
Yeah, it is hard to date. I am kind of dating someone.
Does that mean like boyfriend, girlfriend, situationship? Like...
Situationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he in the industry as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So there's an understanding of sexual things going on. That's where the situation comes in?
That's where the situation comes in.
On your part or his?
Kind of both.
That's...
You know, I think it's just misaligned expectations.
Expectations are bad.
Yeah. But I like him. So that's why I continue to deal.
Did he do it in?
Yeah.
What is a luxury item that you spoil yourself on? You're doing all this work. You have to be like making some money over there. Mm-hmm. What kind of luxury item that do you splurge on when you have a resting day?
Candles.
Candles?
I have tens of thousands of dollars of candles on my house. Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Yes.
That's a lot of candles. I'm a candle girl too, but I none of tens of thousands.
I have one candle that's like $400 or $500. It's like this big.
I have
big.
One of those big ones, yeah.
The Diptyque one. Yes.
Smells delicious.
Yeah, no, I'm a big candle person. I don't know why I started getting into it, but pretty much any luxury candle brand I have and I am familiar.
Okay.
And I can tell you ranking based off of scent and throw and how it burns.
Got a data sheet over there, girl.
It's all in my head. It's all in my head. But yeah, there's candles just littered all over my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest pet peeve?
Biggest pet peeve. Inconsiderate people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot with like you coming into the adult world that people in your life are inconsiderate?
I think people in general sometimes can just be inconsiderate. You know, okay. It's just like, I think a lot of people have issues with communication, and that lends to being inconsiderate of someone else's feelings or time. Or unaware.
Yeah.
Did you get a, like an influx of like friends and people changing when you got into the adult industry?
Not at all.
Okay.
It was, it's really cool because I've been Connie Perignon for over a decade, right? And so many people have watched me grow up on the internet. I was on Tumblr and all of that.
Yeah.
So I have had fans from just from when I was a Tumblr girl. And so all of my old coworkers, all of these people, they're all seeing me change and stuff. So I'll see like my old coworkers and they're like, man, you're like famous now. And I'm like, oh, wow. Hey.
What would you say is unique about you?
What is unique about me? I think I'm the most tattooed Asian girl in porn.
Okay.
I think I'm pretty well spoken. And I'm real. You know, I'm not putting on a persona.
Okay.
Like every person that I vibe with in the industry is fully off of like personality and not clout chasing or anything. And I think that authenticity comes through in social media, comes through on camera. Like I don't try to put on airs. Mm-hmm. Like I look like this every single day. You know,
do people try to do that to you? That now that you, like you said, that you they call you like you're famous now, or
yeah,
this other different like you know. Level of, you know, life that they're maybe not
Not really. I feel like I have more issues with like people in the industry, like just clout chasing behavior, you know, and trying to qualify whether or not they should know you or like invest something into a friendship with you or anything like that. But my friends are pretty solid. Right. Yeah.
So you say that you're the most tattooed girl, Asian girl.
Yeah.
What, do you have any tattoos that you regret?
Out
of all those times.
Yeah. So I have one on the back of my neck that is awful.
Okay.
I got it when I was 17 in a living room with a man with a tattoo gun. So
fun times, you know?
Yeah. So
what is it?
It's a rose, okay. But it's just the way it's done is awful. And I've looked into getting it lasered a million times, but it's so
you can't just cover it. Is that what they do?
You can, but it would take up so much space, and I still want to get like a back piece. So you know, it's just this ugly rose on the back of my neck.
Have you ever slid into somebody's DMs?
Yes.
Didn't it work?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Has anybody slid into yours that's worked that we've maybe started dating or probably hooked up with that you wouldn't have?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite often.
No.
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 In the beginning.
I feel like I have a reputation for being impossible to pull.
Okay.
So usually it's just like, if you catch me when I'm in the right mood, maybe I'm bored enough or I'm like, yeah, whatever.
So why do you have that nickname or that label?
I have really high standards.
Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what you want.
Yeah. I think when you come from being an escort, and especially like, you know, kind of a high-end escort, right? You get treated a certain way.
Okay.
And it's really hard sometimes to make that differentiation between work and like, this is just
treated
a regular.
By who different?
By clients.
Okay.
You know, or just men in general.
Okay.
You know, like being showered in gifts and like all this kind of stuff. Like, and I will say that is an issue for me sometimes of like, okay, if a client treats me like this, like, obviously, if I'm dating you, you should also be doing this, right? But that's not necessarily a realistic expectation to have. So I think that's made it a little bit hard for me to date, because it's hard for me to turn off, like, you should be simping over me. You should be doing all this stuff for me.
I think if that's your love language and you like those things, I think that that's, you know, warranted. Maybe not to a degree of, like, what it is with simps or, you know, terminology you use, but like I think that gift giving is a form of receiving and like affection too.
Right. I think it definitely makes it harder.
Yeah, I could see that.
To find the right person.
Yeah. Well, he's out there, I'm sure. I don't know about this one, but there is the right one.
Right.
All right. So we're going to play my favorite game, Truth with Texas. We're going to ask you a little bit more spicy, a little bit more naughty, a little more kinky, and some romantic questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Let's do some spicy questions.
Mm-hmm.
Craziest place you've had sex?
Craziest place.
You seem quite adventurous. You've been all around New York City over there. Is there anything about your place is crazy?
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
In the ocean, in an elevator, in a Christian school. In a church.
You're like, where? I'm like, everywhere. It's sick.
Well, what part is crazy? Like,
I mean, I guess it is like different for crazy.
Yeah.
Different.
You know?
But like, all those things are definitely people have never said any of those on my couch. Okay. So, I mean, you're winning in my
yes. Guess.
You're winning in my.
Okay.
Cool. Have you ever stayed in a relationship for sex? Their dick was just that great that you stayed a little bit longer than you probably did.
I feel like that's currently what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. The dickmatized.
Yeah.
A little.
Have you ever fallen asleep during sex?
No.
Okay. Has anybody ever fallen asleep?
No.
Sex with you?
No.
No?
I think like immediately after, yes, okay. But not during.
Pussy drunk, then sleep. toys in the bedroom, yes or no?
Usually no.
Okay.
I'm a hands person, so I'd rather you use your hands. But like, I don't mind like a Hitachi or something.
Right.
Yeah.
My go-to toy.
Yeah.
Smartly. let's see. Celebrity hall pass. Do you have one?
Like, someone that I would want to fuck? Oh, Skepta. Easy.
Skepta. Okay.
That's someone I've slid in the DMs a million times. Still have not gotten a response.
Like, I'm assuming he hasn't responded when you're like, well, we're manifesting it for you.
Yeah.
Answer the
text. He's so hot. You are so hot. Let me suck your dick, please.
You heard her. Here, I'm a tug. We're manifesting this for you. Worst hookup story?
There's so many.
Pick your favorite one that you haven't told. The one that's, you know, a secret.
What
the truth here?
Skid marks.
Oh. Yeah,
that's a pretty short, pretty short story.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, how do you?
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
Like, how do you even?
There was not really anything after.
Yeah.
It was just,
it was a shitty situation.
It was a very shitty situation.
Give me one that has a little bit more substance.
This guy invited me out to drinks. Okay. We did not get drinks. We ate the free peanuts at the bar.
You couldn't even buy a drink?
No. And then he's like, let's go to my place. And I'm like, okay. He lives in a 6 or 7 story walk up. I'm wearing Louboutins. So I have to walk up all those stairs.
That's tragic.
Yes. And then I get to his apartment and it's so small, all the furniture is touching. Everything is definitely from IKEA, including that IKEA shelf that's the cubes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I hate and every man has for some reason.
Because they think it's decorative.
Yeah. That IKEA shelf, whatever. We had like the weirdest sex.
Okay.
Maybe I wouldn't constitute it as sex. It was very weird.
Okay.
Lasted like 3-4 minutes.
Did he like come before he even put it in, or he was just
weird? I just remember being really weirded out. Like he was making weird faces.
Like you're getting flashbacks right now. Like,
yeah,
having this tour, you're like
PTSD. He was making weird faces, all this shit, and then like I kind of was like, all right, I'm gonna go. And then I was like, can you call me a car? Because that's minimum what I expect. If I gave you pussy, you're gonna call me a car, right?
Yeah.
He starts going like, oh, I can't find my phone, all this shit. And I'm like, okay,
the app.
I will continue to sit here and wait, you know? And then finally he realized that I wasn't leaving. So he was like, okay, I found my phone. I'll call you this car.
Okay.
Calls the car. I'm like, bye. You know, I get in the car. It's a shared car. He called me like a shared Uber. And there was like 2 other people in the car. And so what should have been like a quick, like, you know, 30-minute Uber ride ends up being like an hour and a half where we're being shuttled all around New York City because we're dropping off all these other people.
That's
There's a small dog next to me. Because the woman next to me had a small dog, and the dog smelled like shit.
This seems like it should be like a store, like a
sick. Yeah, like, and then imagine the chaos in this car. The Uber driver is on the phone, right? The guy in the front seat is like on a conference call or something with his laptop open with Excel sheets.
What time is this?
This
is New York, but
it was like 10 p.m. or something.
Okay.
So he's like on the computer. The girl next to me is also on the phone. Everybody's talking at the same time. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So that is my submission for the worst hookup.
I feel like you win again. I don't know what she wins yet. But she's going to win something. She's going to win another joint. She's going to win something. All right. Kinky questions. Any fetishes? Do you have any kink?
I have a bunch of them. I like feet.
Okay.
I even like men feet. You know,
if they're a girl myself, I have a fetish.
Yeah. I like pegging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like get off to the fact of like taking like the like alphaness in a man, or what do you like about the pegging? Like you said, it's so casual. Like, yeah, I like pegging.
I think it's less of a power thing, and it's more like I like the idea of letting a man feel open enough to like let me do that.
Okay.
You know, because they have all those weird shit about things that are at their buttholes. But there's something about like I like when a man is comfortable enough to go against like all of these societal you know, like even I don't mind if a man like, you know, for sometimes like dresses up like a woman, whatever. Like
have you had partners in the past?
I have.
Do that? Okay.
Yeah. But what else? I don't know. I like really hardcore sex. I like gangbangs.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Have you done gangbangs in your personal life?
I wouldn't say gangbang. If it was three guys. That doesn't count.
Okay.
Right?
Not really. I think you did a couple
more. Yeah. That's just you and three guys.
Yeah.
You know?
You need to eat some more.
Yeah.
Most number of times you had sex in one day?
Like 12.
12? Okay.
Yeah.
How many partners?
10.
You're like 12? No,
10 or like 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
In one day.
In one day.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
High five.
She'd be fucking.
I'm a high five. I'm proud of you, girl. I'm proud of you. Shower sex or car sex?
Oh, I like, kind of hate both.
Both?
Yeah.
Did you like the ocean? Because that sounded horrible, too.
It was more the context.
And, like, whatever.
Yeah, it was more the context. But I guess shower sex. Shower. Over car.
All right. Naughty question.
Okay.
Spit or spit?
Spit.
Choked or spank?
Choked.
Do you like dirty talk?
Am I doing it?
Yes.
Like, how much of it am I doing? Because sometimes they ask you to, like, paint a whole picture, and I'm like, my guy, I got like two sentences in me.
Remember some of those notes. What is a dirty talk line that you like?
I mean, a lot of it is like surrounding like being slutty or being like a whore.
Can you give me like an example of your dirty talk?
I'm
what
shy.
If you were trying to like seduce Miss Texas and you were wanting me to have my big fat Texas ass on your face? How would you entice me to do it?
I don't know. I'm like,
you're like, please just say it, please.
I told you, man. Like, hot girls make me nervous.
I should give you, I'll give you a lesson, a tutorial on dirty talking. Because I'm really good at dirty talking.
Yeah.
I went to the babe stations in, like, London for, like, 2 years and dirty talked. It's really fun. It's give you sessions with Miss Texas.
Ooh.
Role play, yes or no?
Yes.
Oral sex, sloppy or clean?
Sloppy? Who says clean?
I don't know. You kind of seem put together like you're like, I'm going to keep it all in my mouth.
Oh, no. No, I like it really sloppy.
Okay. Biggest turn off. What biggest is something that off. Someone can do that just
fucking
gives you
bad hygiene.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hooked up with a friend's sibling.
No.
Did I just give you a key?
No, I'm like surprised. I'm like, actually, I've never done that.
At one point for me.
Yeah, I've never done that. I feel like I'm always plotting, though, and you know.
Romantic questions. Last couple questions. Giving or receiving?
Giving.
Lights on or lights off?
On.
Foreplay or sex?
Sex.
Deal breakers in a relationship.
Deal breakers in a relationship. I don't like when guys eat like super messy.
Okay.
That's a deal breaker.
Messy eater.
Yeah, like pig-like behavior. Oh, okay. Not for me.
And I've dated so many guys.
I feel like someone's like disgusted you. You're like,
no, I've dated so many guys that like just like eat like they've never eaten food before. You're like, that's insane.
Cut or uncut?
Uncut.
All right, we knew your turn off. Let's know what your turn on is. What is something that right off the bat when you see a man just makes your pussy wet?
I'm just gonna say a huge dick.
So when you see the print, you're like, hey.
Like a thick one. Okay. I like them thick.
So that is that your describe your perfect dick.
A perfect dick, probably 8 to 9 and like, but like thick.
Okay. Thick like dread?
Maybe a little less thick than that. You know?
You said.
But like pretty thick.
Okay.
Pretty thick. Yeah.
All right. I like that. Well, that's the rest of Truth with Texas. Thank you so much. I hope you had fun playing.
I did.
Is there anything that you want to ask Miss Texas?
I don't know. I'm like, you make me so nervous.
Don't be nervous. I won't bite you too hard.
So are you returning to Main Street?
I did do a scene with Dredd. Yeah. We did it for our OFs.
Yeah.
And I possibly might be shooting a movie for Jules.
Yeah.
Coming up. So, but
that's exciting.
So yeah, I'm doing more stuff, like just things that I want to do, like with more, mainly for myself, but you know, Jules is a really good friend of mine as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, Julie, I will do a movie for you. I love working for you.
Yeah.
He's my Gemini twin. And so.
Yeah.
I make some hot magic.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I'm excited for that, but yeah.
Yeah, the fans were like losing it that you were there.
It's been a long time. I hadn't been to AVN in probably, I went last year, but I went for my podcast, so I wasn't there actually signing, so it's been like 4 years or so. But it was a lot of fun. I had fun at the booth. That was always a good time, and getting to see a lot of like you newer girls that I've never met before, but hear your name, so it was kind of cool to like be a part of the whole experience and see that. But yes. So let us know where we can follow you, support you in all of this.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, not Connie Perignon, P-E-R-I-G-N-O-N. My Twitter/X is Con Perignon, C-O-N-N-P-E-R-I-G-N-O-N. My OnlyFans is OnlyCons, C-O-N-N-S.com. And you can find me on Pornhub, Connie Perignon. And yeah.
Yay. All right, Private Talk, you heard her. Make sure you go follow and support. And until I meet again.
This episode is sponsored by Bet Online.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.